Welcome to Consilience, an African science podcast, brought to you from Johannesburg, South Africa. Consilience is a weekly podcast dedicated to promoting reason, skepticism, and a scientific worldview in Africa and beyond.
Welcome to Consilience. I'm Owen Swart, and joining me as usual this week are Angela Meaden.
Hello, everybody.
And Michael Meaden.
Good evening.
And in case you're wondering what the date is, today is November the 21st, 2011.
That's true. That is indeed the date.
We didn't miss a week.
No.
Yes, we did.
No, there was a paradox in time.
Right. And
it's those neutrinos.
Yeah, it's the neutrinos. And because there were those 2 weeks where it was late, it seems like we missed a week, but we didn't really. It's just...
We missed last week.
It's an error of parallax. Oh, don't admit it, Angela.
I think it's an error of parallax, definitely.
It's definitely an error of parallax.
It's more like relative.
Yes.
I mean, in some frames of reference, it's still like last week,
right,
surely.
Right, like in Singapore. In Singapore, it's...
In Singapore, it's like 2 weeks ago. Exactly.
Hell, in Pretoria, it's about 15 years ago.
15? That's very generous of you.
Depends on what part of Pretoria.
Bloemfontein is more like 40.
Right, yeah. So it's all good. So really, if you're listening to this in Bloemfontein, then we're in the future. Hi, New Lundy.
Oh, you're ridiculous, both of you.
All right, speaking of future, let's teach Angela to appreciate history.
Yes, so on October 22nd, 1963, John F. Kennedy was shot and killed by Lee Harvey Oswald in Dallas, Texas. Now, you might have noticed the way I phrased that. And I think that's pretty much all I want to say about that.
Oh, well, there you have it.
I've heard about that before.
Wait a second, but what about the third gunman?
It caused a bit of a stir, didn't it?
It did. this is one of these classic conspiracy theories of a lizard on a grassy knoll who opened an umbrella which caused an interdimensional field to kill Kennedy via the Cuban dictator's control over the American mafia.
And Boba Fett flew in on a Pegasus. Yeah.
And Oswald's bullet had nothing to do with it.
No, nothing at all.
Yeah.
He missed, obviously.
So I think very few people dispute the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald shot at least three times at Kennedy. I think even the crazy ones think he fired three of the four shots. There is the hypothesis, including, you know, it was advanced by fairly prominent people, including the House Committee on Assassinations in the 1970s, that there was a second gunman, and therefore that there was a conspiracy, and therefore that there was some sort of unknown motive behind the killing. However, no evidence has ever been produced of anyone else being involved in this killing. All the evidence, if you look at it there are features of the case that are, you know, a bit puzzling, and at first seem like, Lee Harvey Oswald shoots Kennedy, and then Jack Ruby shoots Lee Harvey Oswald 2 days later or something like that. Right. Now, that seems very, very convenient. You know, the guy is gone. But it's pretty clear he was a lone gunman. You know, there are pictures of the guy with the gun known to have shot Kennedy from before he shot Kennedy. He was a former U.S. Marine. He was a bit nutters. He lived in the Soviet Union for a couple of years, so he was disaffected with the status quo.
So he was a communist.
Yeah. Well, he was sort of disaffected with the communists as well. He was a bit of an oddball, not very mentally stable. And, you know, just people kill celebrities for whatever reason. It's like the guy who shot Lenin or whatever, right? People do these dumb things. And Jack Ruby, apparently distraught over the killing of the president, in turn killed Lee Harvey Oswald, which seems, you know, it's a good premise for a conspiracy theory.
Very convenient.
It is very convenient, but...
But then who killed that guy?
No one.
I bet it was Bigfoot.
If someone had shot Jack Ruby, now that would have been something.
In Roswell. The silver bullet at midnight.
Right. But I think the only real conclusion you can draw from this is that the Secret Service was deeply incompetent, and that Kennedy should never have been exposed to as many people as he was, and that one crazy person with military training and known to have bought the gun that shot him, had the training to shoot him, did, in fact, shoot him.
Now, wait a second, Michael. When you say that the Secret Service was incompetent, are you suggesting that a government agency was somehow ineffectual at its job?
Well, maybe they were deliberately ineffectual. You see, that's probably part of the conspiracy.
Right. Well, that makes much more sense.
You can pull anything out of your thumb and make it up as a conspiracy theory. Suck it out your thumb. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Anyway, so shall we move on to...
Of course, it's really all the squirrels with the sporks.
The squirrel with the sporks, right. Obviously. In the end, it all boils down to a spork-wielding squirrel.
Squirrel, of course.
Nice. Angela's bored.
Yeah, you two are just talking shit tonight.
Well, considering... Yeah, all right. Well, keeping on with that theme, let's go on to updates.
Excuse me. Yes. Okay. We have a couple of updates for you guys tonight.
Nice.
And first up, we received news recently that James Arthur Ray, who is the American spiritual guru that we spoke about in episode 16, he was found guilty of negligent homicide for being involved in the deaths of three people in 2009. He's been sentenced to 2 years in prison and which is comprised of 3 2-year terms that are to be served concurrently. So, I don't know if you guys should go back and listen to episode 16. In fact, no, don't. It's painful. Those early episodes are really bad. So, James Ray took a bunch of people out into the desert, starved them, didn't give them any water, and then put them in a tent and basically sweated them to death. And he's been given 2 years in prison for this. And it's just not good enough.
It's better than nothing, and it's more than a lot of these guys get for peddling their nonsense and putting people in danger. But I suppose 2 years is better than nothing.
Yeah, the judge said that it was extreme negligence on the part of Mr. Ray, but it was extreme negligence, but he caused their deaths, and I think he should have got a harsher sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much more we can say. Yeah.
So moving on to other bad news.
Yeah, so the last time we actually had an episode, I talked rather excitedly about the Roscosmos mission to Phobos, which is one of Mars' moons.
Yay!
Yeah, well, not so much yay anymore. No. The mission known as Phobos Grunt, or Phobos Soil, I think it is in Russian.
Regulars.
Shut up. Soil. And we spoke about this in episode 35, as I said, and I was really happy about this mission, and I thought, great, for a fairly small amount of money, they're going to do a sample return mission to a moon of Mars, which would be really great. And the probe was launched on November 8th, and all seemed well until one of the rocket stages that was meant to put it into a high Earth orbit failed to fire. So it's still currently, as we record, it's stuck in low Earth orbit, and engineers believe it has entered safe mode because it's confused, because it's supposed to be elsewhere. And
must be running Windows.
Wait, these are Russians. It's probably running Linux.
No, it's probably running DOS.
Ubuntu.
And it's in safe mode, and they can't get it to talk to them. They try to speak to it, but it just gives them the cold shoulder, and it doesn't really speak back. And it's not clear why the one rocket stage failed to fire. It's just presumed to be some kind of technical problem. And as a result of this, this mission is in rather serious trouble. And by now, today, which is the 21st of November, was the very last day that the window to go to Mars was actually open. Because as you know, Mars goes around the sun, and there's a fairly small period of time, once every 18 months, I believe it is,
thereabouts,
that you can actually fire a rocket at Mars economically, and you can maximize, your chances of reaching the planet without too much trouble, and that window is now closed. So this, even if they now manage to revive Phobos Grunt, it's going to still be, it will be unable to go to Mars, which is rather sad news, and it's going to take a long while for Mars to come back round. Mm. So now there's some speculation that if the engineers manage to coax this thing back into life, which is It seems, I don't know about you guys, but that seems rather unlikely at this point.
If they haven't done it by now. Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with it. I don't know what it would take to fix it, so I can't say.
I mean, if it's in low order orbit, you can't switch it off and on again.
I can't unplug the power.
Bang it with a hammer.
Yeah.
Make sure everything's plugged in properly.
Yeah, no, it's kind of hard to do that.
There's some speculation that, look, if they manage to revive it in the next couple of months, they might be able to send it to the moon. Which, okay, that's not nearly as exciting as a moon of Mars, but our moon is still interesting and there are still unsolved mysteries about the moon's regolith.
Mm.
Soil, I mean.
Yeah, it would be okay. Decent second prize, but at this rate, it's probably just going to crash and burn.
Probably. No. Probably. But seriously, Russian scientists and engineers, come on, guys.
Yeah, that was a fail.
Too much vodka.
Careful, your bias is showing.
I trust a communist can't even build a TV, let alone a fucking spaceship. Okay, with the exception of like Sputnik. That was just a fluke.
Yeah, and of course Yuri Gagarin's ship as well.
And Mir and
that too. Yeah.
And the Soyuz, which is the only way to get to the ISS. But
right, that.
All those things apart.
Yeah, aside from those things, yeah. Oh dear. All right.
Angela, tell us about some news. Yes. And
something. Shall we do a proper intro into the news?
Yes, let's have some news. Angela, tell us about the Pope wrapping up his visit to Africa.
Yes, yay.
Pope man.
The Pope has just wrapped up a 3-day visit to Africa.
Who is the Pope, Angela? Is he the Catholic superhero?
Yes, he is. He's super Catholic man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Does he have a silly hat?
Yes, and he wears his underpants. Oh, wait, he probably doesn't wear underpants.
Well, that makes him even more Catholic.
Oh, God, that pot's coming out. He was in Benin for 3 days. And
where is Benin?
It's in West Africa.
Nice.
Yep.
Is that a real place?
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
And at his final visit, the Pope handed over what he calls his vision for Africa, the papal roadmap for the continent.
Oh, God.
In which he outlines how, God and the Roman Catholic Church would like to see Africa overcome some of its hurdles. And he makes fantastic, groundbreaking suggestions that I've never heard of before, such as...
So far, it sounds pretty good. I'm on board with it so far. Let's see.
Turn the other cheek and forgive.
Oh, well.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Mm.
Of course, up until now, no one had told any Africans this.
No.
So now, problem solved.
Well, now we know. Now,
exactly. Thanks, Pope.
That fixes all the problems.
Zimbabwe solved.
Thanks, Benny.
Mugabe heard this, and now he's going to, tell the green bombers, no, guys. Sorry, just go back.
Turn the other cheek and forgive.
Thanks, Mr. Nazi and Pope man.
Yes, not to mention Libya and Sudan and all the other conflicts. Just, guys, look, really, let's all just hold hands and sing Kumbaya, because apparently that's what's going to help.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes.
I mean, it would work if everybody listened.
Right.
But everybody won't ever listen.
And if it weren't for people who share a geographical region who have directly opposed ideologies and consider each other, the spawn of Satan, if it weren't for that, then it would totally work.
It might work, So that's not all that Pope got up to his holiday. On his safari.
Safari.
Pope went on safari.
Goodness. Oh, of course he
especially
did.
Foreigners, if you're ever in Africa, don't call what you do as a safari.
Yeah.
Nobody here calls it that.
But
if you do call it that, people think you're stupid.
I don't even know what a safari is.
It's a game drive.
But that's a...
You get in a car, and then you drive around a game park, and you look at animals, and that's apparently a safari.
It's not a safari.
That is not a safari.
That's what you do on a Saturday afternoon.
A real safari, it's a Swahili word for, I don't know, something or another. But don't call it safari. Don't call it safari. Call it a freaking game drive.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So
that's how to be cool in South Africa. Call it a game drive.
On the second day of the Pope's game drive to Benin, he
created the sun and the earth.
He wishes. He visited the city of Ouidah, I think. I don't really know how to pronounce it, so I'm going with Ouidah, where he issued a warning against witchcraft, referring to the region's deep beliefs in voodoo.
Oh no! Why is he so stupid?
Yeah,
makes my eyes hurt.
So there's roughly 30 million people in West Africa who practice the religious tradition of voodoo. And it's not perceived negatively in these areas as it is in the West, where we've been exposed to Hollywood. It's a way of life for these people. They're raised in this culture. It's part of their tradition, and it's just what they do.
It's a religion like any other.
Yes.
It's no more sinister than any other religion.
As I understand it, it's not even like a formalized religion as we might recognize it. It's like a cluster of superstitions, a lot like the sort of superstitious beliefs where Europeans have, you know, the walking under ladders and black cats crossing your path, that kind of nonsense. Something like that, only a little more formalized, perhaps.
From what I've read, it is a bit more formalized than that. It is a polytheistic religion.
Okay.
But they have got a central deity, and he has got lesser deities who help him out with everything. And they have these gods of everything, from deities responsible for weather and disease to those responsible for streams and rocks and trees. It's really a broad polytheistic religion. And in a lot of cases, it's incorporated into the people who practice voodoo. They incorporated into their Muslim and Christian beliefs.
Syncretic beliefs.
Yeah, like Christian religions. So just like European religions.
Sure, like Christianity. Yes, Christianity is a syncretic system, taking previously existing myths of a god dying, born of a virgin birth, that kind of nonsense.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not Catholicism, and the Pope doesn't like it.
Of course he doesn't.
Yeah.
He wears a silly hat.
The whole thing was a deeply misguided trip to spread a gospel that shouldn't be encouraged, really.
I think what's going on here is that he went there and he saw that the people who practice voodoo wear sillier hats than he does.
And he was insulted.
Yes, he has hat envy. So rather than make his own hat fancier, he decided to denigrate those people because their hats are better than his.
I think he's just really not in touch with the real world.
Yes.
And I really think that's the problem. If you're going to tell people with massive ethnic conflicts to turn the other cheek, then you really are just betraying your own ignorance of the situation.
Right. But, of course, the voodoo thing, that's not the only aspect of the witchcraft in Africa story. There are, in many countries, mostly in East Africa, I think, more than West Africa.
Where's Benin?
West Africa. Yeah. I think it's mostly in East Africa as opposed to West Africa, although it's kind of spread around the place, where there are widespread anti-witchcraft crusades, where children are abused in the name of exorcism, and people are murdered publicly, and it's a really frightening situation. If that's the sort of thing that you're interested in, you should Google Freethought Kampala, because that's something that they deal with a lot up in places like Uganda and Ghana and Kenya and those sorts of places. It's a real problem up there.
Well, it's not only a problem up in East Africa. It's a problem here in South Africa on our own home soil, you know. I blogged about it just this week, where there was a young child of 7 years old who was killed by a church group who were praying over her to try and exorcise her, which is just deeply idiotic. I mean, it shouldn't be allowed. The sooner we can break away from these beliefs, the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Poop Benny is not helping us in that regard.
No, he's not. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking about idiotic beliefs leading to murder and death and unhappiness, there is a really strange and sort of captivating in a macabre kind of way trial that has been ongoing in South Africa for the last couple of weeks, and it has, sort of really caught the public imagination, and that is the murder trial of Matthew Naidoo and the brother and sister Nicolette and Hardus Lotter, and they stand accused of murdering the two siblings' parents, Maria and Johannes, in July 2008 in Durban. And, you know, these two people were murdered in extremely gruesome ways, like the father was strangled with a piece of cord, and the mother, you know, they were like incompetent at it, so they didn't know how to do it properly, so they at first tased her and then tried to suffocate her, and that didn't work. And so the daughter ended up stabbing her multiple times.
Oh, it's horrific.
Wow.
Absolutely horrific.
You know, it's sort of heart-rending and brutal. But all sorts of really odd and, in some macabre sense, interesting details have emerged. And that is that apparently Nicolette was raped by a Tokoloshe. And she was spiritually violated by the domestic worker who practiced witchcraft.
Spiritually violated.
Yes. So...
Okay, so a Tokoloshe is a mythical creature. I'm not sure if you could even call it a cryptid. It's just kind of it's a mythical being, like a fairy almost.
Leprechaun.
Yeah, yeah, not like a leprechaun. I think the closest European equivalent is called a brownie. It's my hypothesis that leprechauns are monkeys. But
yeah, the Tokoloshe is like an evil spirit that, you know, does harm to people and comes in and hurts you at night. And, and could be quite easily explained by hypnopompic and hypnagogic hallucinations.
Yeah, and that they're usually summoned and set upon people by an evil wizard or witch.
Right. And, so here's the story, is that Naidu, this sort of charismatic guy, thought and convinced the two siblings that he was the third son of God.
Oh.
Wow.
And that Johannes, the father, was a Satanist, and he did not love his children, and he had affairs. And the mother, also known as Reki, only married for money, and she was looking for other men to have affairs with as well. And apparently the father was also complicit with the domestic in paying for the witchcraft that led to Nicolette being raped by this Tokoloshe.
Wow.
And she specifically said, which I found interesting because Ange mentioned the hypnopompic and hypnagogic hallucination, she specifically mentioned not experiencing this while awake, but having the experience while she was asleep.
So she dreamt it.
Wow.
She dreamt it. And then, apparently, guess what cured her? Fucking Mr. Naidu cured her of being violated spiritually by the Tokoloshe, and therefore...
And that's fucking not used as an adjective.
Yes.
Used as an actual verb.
Used as a verb, and this cured her of this affliction, and therefore it is reasonable to conclude that Naidu is the third son of God, and that for some reason the two parents had to die, and that's why they killed him.
That sounds utterly insane to me.
Yeah.
Utterly mad and just crazy, crazy, crazy.
I mean, there are levels of stupid and crazy to that I cannot plumb.
Yeah,
exactly. I was actually thinking when I first read the story, although now after thinking about it a bit more, I have my doubts. I think they might be going for the version of the insanity defense here, just going her balls to the wall, going, well, let's just make up the craziest things we can, try to shift the blame away from ourselves,
right.
Put it all on Naidu.
Mm.
And Satan. And
he's this master manipulator. And now later it's come out, her testimony has changed a bit, that she now believes that Naidu and the domestic worker were working together with the witchcraft, and it's no longer the father, so they were tricked into killing the parents.
Oh, it sounds like she's deeply disturbed. Like she really has some serious psychological issues. And that's probably from before she killed her parents.
Right.
Probably. Or they're just trying to shift blame. It's very hard to tell in these circumstances. Mm. But I suppose you certainly can't rule out severe mental problems in a case like this.
Well, I think it's at least safe to say that Naidu is mentally ill. I mean, if he believes himself to be the third incarnation of God, that's pretty much a textbook, you know, mental illness as far as I can tell.
Sure.
Yeah. Wow.
But we'll follow that. This trial has now been adjourned to March next year. And the judge is going to, I believe, pass sentence then. So you can look forward to an update then.
Yeah. So let's move on to just a short news article that we have about ghosts keeping Helen Ziller company.
Yay.
Yay.
Wait, what?
So,
what?
For our foreign listeners, Helen Ziller is the Western Cape Premier. and she leads up the Democratic Party, which is like the biggest opposition party that we have in South Africa.
The Western Cape is a province in South Africa.
Yes, and it's run by the DA, and yay for them. But boo for Helen Zille, believing that her official residence, Leeuwenhoek, is haunted. Yeah. So shortly after she took office, the house was visited by a ghostbuster.
Was he wearing the uniform?
I don't know.
And did he have a big like laser thing on his back?
Proton pack.
Possibly. It would be more reliable.
That would be awesome. We should go visit Helen Zille wearing this stuff in ghostbuster costumes.
You're so
I'm
cool.
Totally up for that.
That would be so awesome.
And we take lots of like molten marshmallow along, yes, and throw it at her.
Yes.
So. Awesome. Helen Zille's official spokesperson said that the ghostbuster was a clairvoyant and was paid to walk around the house and claim that she felt a presence in certain areas.
Right. Well, that proves it.
Uh-huh. Where have we heard that before?
Of course, because a clairvoyant is, it's just like any other scientific instrument,
yes,
right?
Of course.
It's like if you have a thermometer and you hold a thermometer and it says it's 20 degrees, therefore it's 20 degrees.
Yeah, so if you take a clairvoyant, hold it up in the air, it says, I feel a presence.
Then there's a presence, there, obviously.
Exactly, because it's been reliably calibrated by tons and reams of scientific evidence, and therefore, end of the story. Okay, so we're concluding ghosts exist officially. This is our view.
No, of course. No.
The Breaks, boys. Podcast.
Breaks. What? Breaks.
But what?
Stop.
You just said.
But it's science.
But handbrakes. Handbrakes.
But they did science.
No, they didn't.
Oh.
Activities that apparently happen are the lights apparently switch themselves on when no one's there. And
it's, of course, impossible for someone to forget they put it on.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then leave.
Yeah.
And it's also impossible for an old house like Leeuwenhoek to have dodgy wiring where the switches, you know, might, like, fall down every now and then.
And old houses often have these weird things where
it's like a toggle
switch. You turn one light off and another goes on.
Yes, yeah, multiple switches for the same light. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like my parents' house.
And this one was built in something like the 1700s.
Right.
So Zille apparently has also heard someone walking about in the corridors.
Right, of course, because they can't have wooden paneling in the floor that creaks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the persistent myths about the house is that there was a woman who fell pregnant but wasn't married and committed suicide, and so now she haunts the house.
Of course.
Which has been independently corroborated by other idiots.
Well, that just proves it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously it's haunted. Clairvoyant and other experts have corroborated. Well,
yes.
Then what more is what
There's one more thing. There's the quote from Helen herself.
Oh, well, of course you would know.
Well, she has accepted that in some cases it could just be her imagination. But given the decades-old tradition, she's not taking any chances. Richard Dawkins would tell us that tradition is not a good reason to believe anything.
Yes, he would.
So that's it for ghosts in the Zille house.
You know, people who run government really shouldn't have dumb beliefs. It makes me sad.
And worried.
It does make me sad. I voted for her in the last election.
Yeah, especially with someone like Helen Zille, whose party represents such a breath of fresh air at the moment and real hard-hitting, you know, we can do it because we're rational about it.
Yeah.
And then they come up with something like this, and it just really does tip the house of cards.
Yeah.
I mean, unlike the Americans, she doesn't actually control nuclear weapons, so I'm not as worried as I would have been about someone like Reagan in the 1980s.
Yeah.
But still, seriously.
She could potentially control like housing budgets for poor people and stuff like that.
She does.
She does.
Yes, that's true. She does.
Yeah.
And she doesn't give them toilets that are covered.
Please, let's not go there. I've had enough of Toilet Gate.
Yeah, our listeners can Google Toilet Gate.
No, don't. Not because you'll get poor. No, you probably will get poor.
Just make sure safe search is on. Oh, dear.
Now for the lurker to finally come in and actually contribute something.
Stop lurking, lurker.
Yes. Chris, tell us a story.
Shame, that's mean.
Now joining us is Richard Dawkins. Richard.
Stephen Hawking.
In joke.
All right. So when I was driving to work this morning, I saw one of those headlights plastered on the side of the road, which gave me a sad feeling. And when I arrived at the office, I had to look up the article, and my sad feeling was justified because I read one of the worst scientifically related articles in a newspaper I've read in a very long time. And I read News 24 from time to time.
That is saying something.
It is saying something.
Yeah.
So the headline was, "Men over 54, lucky to be alive."
Wow, that's quite shocking.
Yeah.
And Owen, tell us, why are they lucky to be alive? Is it because medicine. All men at 54 get taken in South Africa to a camp and shot and yes. turned into food?
Yes, that's the law. In fact, once you reach 24, you're
54,
taken up.
54.
On your 54th birthday, you're taken up into the Baluti Mountains and shot with a bow and arrow in your head.
Ow.
And no, that's where you get bitten by tuna from.
Oh, dear.
That's terrible, Michael.
Well, it's some dolphin mixed in. I mean,
obviously. Oh, dear. All right. So, this is just absolute crap. And this article was just terribly written, and I'm nitpicking here, but you know, really, I've had a rough week, and you know, frankly, this dude deserves it.
It's Monday.
It was, yeah. Well, last week was rough.
Okay.
So this idiot who wrote it, Ina Skosana, it's badly written. It's incoherent. It raises scientific facts as if they're relevant to the conclusion, but there's no conclusion. All right. So let's go through these things one at a time. All right. So the headline refers to the average life expectancy of a South African man. Is 54. So now, what he's saying is that if you make it over 54, you're somehow lucky. You've beaten the odds by
Someone
making it past 54.
Someone doesn't understand statistics.
Exactly. Average is average, not absolute. It's the average. Some men die younger, some will die older, and probably a lot of them. But, you know, these things are on like a bell curve, right? Yeah. The peak of the bell curve, that's the mean, that's the average. That's
the middle of a range.
Yes, middle of a range. A big range. So, you know, okay, so 54 isn't. I'll leave it open permanently.
Okay, so that's the middle of a range.
Yeah, the middle of a range. So, now 54 as an average life expectancy for South African men is somewhat lower than the global average of a human lifespan, which is 66. Right, but it's not that much lower, and it's understandable in a country where you have things like a high HIV infection rate and poor healthcare and
poverty.
That kind of thing. Poverty, yes. Mm. So it's not really all that surprising. But this article attributes the younger average life expectancy of South African men to violence. Man, dude on dude violence. Right, so too many dudes out there have been punching too many other dudes to death, and that's why we all die.
So they should rather be punching dolphins.
Yeah, obviously. Of course. That's weird.
Who wants to punch dolphins? That's rude. Sure, dolphins are bastards.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, dolphins deserve... If you like dolphins, you don't know them.
That's true.
You don't know a dolphin personally.
Yeah.
They rape and kill and murder.
That's true.
And they're not
they're
nice.
Psychos.
They're not
but
nice
anyway, people. Luckily enough, South African men don't encounter too many dolphins.
Right. Just other South African men who are apparently also arseholes.
Well, so, that's true. Have you driven in Gauteng?
We're getting to that. So now the article attributes this man-on-man violence to South African men somehow.
Sorry, it's just man-on-man. You're telling us there's lots of man-on-man action going on?
Apparently there is, according to this article.
Physical kind.
It would seem so, yeah. Lots of dick punching.
What, dicks punching each other?
Probably.
Oh, God, please. You two are so immature.
Dick. Anyway, carry on.
All right, so Skosana attributes this violence to South African men somehow being testosterone-fueled. The implication being that somehow South African men, A, have more testosterone than other men, and B, that violence is caused by testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's not. And we'll post a link into Scientific American where it explains why testosterone does not cause violence.
Not by itself.
By itself.
Yeah, not by itself. Yeah, it's a little more complicated than that.
Yes. Right.
Well, it's orders of magnitude more complicated.
Right, yeah. So it, you know, testosterone doesn't make violence in the same way that strawberries doesn't make a milkshake.
Yeah, unfortunately. Right.
Would be nice, though. All right, so the second assertion here is that South African men have more testosterone than other men, which is just absurd on the face of it. Is there any reason to believe that? No. Why would there be? It's just ridiculous.
I think what we have here is a chronic case of reductio ad absurdum.
Yes. But it doesn't end there. It carries on.
I'll have to make that point again.
No, but it's true. But it keeps going. So then, after they've postulated these, or this explanation, it then postulates a different explanation. And that is that the cause of all the violence is a patriarchal notions of masculinity emphasizing toughness, which is a quote from a study published by the MRC UNISA Crime, Violence, and Injury Lead Program in 2008.
Okay.
Which is, you know, the study seems okay. But that study was looking at injuries in South Africa, not deaths, which doesn't impact life expectancy. And although it did attribute a large number of those injuries that they looked at to violence, you know, to man-on-man action, they didn't attribute that to testosterone-iness or anything like that. It attributed to the legacy of apartheid somehow, and also cited traffic accidents as a major cause of injuries.
And deaths, no doubt.
Yeah. So this article basically said nothing about nothing and based it on nothing.
So what we have here is a chronic case of reductio ad absurdum.
It would seem so.
Am I correct, Michael? Is that the right logical fallacy I'm thinking of? He's basically taken a really, really, really complicated idea, such as South African men's average life expectancy is 54 years old, and he's gone, well, it's because of this one thing.
Hmm.
And this one thing is caused by that one thing, and therefore QED.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be reductio ad absurdum. That would be just reductionism. Mm.
Okay.
Just very bad reductionism.
Mm. Okay.
Incoherent, inconsistent. This doesn't make any sense. Now, it's hard to tell whether Innes Kosana himself wrote this thing so incompetently, or whether he wrote a competent article that was then edited beyond all recognition.
Which paper is this from?
The name of the publication is The New Age, which is...
Which is basically the ruling party's mouthpiece.
Well, right. Look, The New Age has some good editors. I've worked a little bit with a New Age journalist. And, you know, you can't say that they are useless. I think, really, the case here is probably just a poorly researched and poorly written article that someone's tried to bash into shape and run as is because they just didn't have a choice.
All right.
You know.
It is, of course, true that South Africa is an extremely violent country. We have one of the highest murder rates in the world.
Right.
And B, it's also true that men are significantly more violent than women are, which is, I believe, one of the conclusions reached in this article. The scientific evidence for that is overwhelming.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like Martin Daly and...
thank you.
Martin Daly and Margot Wilson's book Homicide from sometime in the 1980s, I think it was 88, that they detailed a lot of the statistics around murder. And it's overwhelmingly poor young men murdering other poor young men.
That's
usually over trivial things.
Mm.
It's not usually over money, or it's I walk into the room and I disrespect you. We get into an argument. Someone gets very embarrassed and someone goes home and fetches a gun. That very trivial kind of cause.
So, in other words, patriarchal notions of masculinity advertising toughness.
Well, I mean, there
could well be.
There is some evidence that societies that favor like honor cultures, like in the American South,
right,
tend to be more violent. But attributing violence to, you know, some notion of patriarchy, it's sort of a higher superstition. It's one of these leftish intellectual notions that it's utter nonsense.
Mm.
Another good person to read on the causes of violence is Steven Pinker. He's just released, I mean, he's written about a number of times and how the mind works in The Blank Slate. And his most recent book is Better Angels of Our Nature, detailing how human violence has declined over the last couple of centuries, or even millennia, really. And so A is true and B is true. How they get from those two things to anything to do with men being lucky to be alive at 54.
Yeah, or testosterone. And, or,
and I mean, what's the magnitude? How many people get murdered in South Africa? A couple of thousand?
Something like that, yeah.
I think it's something like 15,000 a year.
Yeah, it's some number like that. Far more people die of HIV. Far right. more, yeah. You know, a similar number die from car accidents.
Right.
Or a comparable number. Right, so saying you're lucky to be over 54 because you somehow avoided violence is just, that's nonsensical, not only given the evidence that the author cites, but the evidence that is available. So,
yeah.
Fail.
Just silly writing, silly editing, and just a silly article in general.
I wasn't as pissed off about it as you were, but but yeah. I could see, I think if I first saw the headline and then read the article, I might have been primed differently, because I read it and I was like, okay, this is pretty dumb, but it didn't insult me in a personal kind of way. It's not unlike so much Duncan Alfred.
Yeah. We'll get on to Duncan Alfred. What upset me most about this was the misuse of scientific information. So this guy did a little bit of Googling about life expectancy and violence and that kind of thing. Not enough Googling, didn't do enough research, threw all this stuff together in a pot, stirred it around a little bit with an apartheid, and
threw in a couple of bay leaves. Yeah. Still,
I mean, you're making fun of the notion, but I don't think it's all implausible that apartheid has something to do with the high rates of violence in South Africa. Apartheid is one of the primary causes of the current inequality South Africa faces, and inequality is very highly correlated with rates of violence.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I do think it does have something to do with it. I mean, I know apartheid gets blamed for a lot of things, but it's also not a good idea intellectually to overlook the long-lasting effects of apartheid. I mean, Italy, there's some famous evidence that the north and south of Italy are currently so different from each other, because they are, because of institutional differences centuries before.
Wow.
Right? So we're talking detectable differences between in the same country from stuff that happened centuries ago.
Wow.
Hmm.
So, you know, saying apartheid, okay, it's been almost 20 years, but that's not nearly long enough.
Yeah, it's not absurd. It's just it's a cliche, I think, more than anything else.
It's a cliche.
It's sort of like that show Winner.
Yeah.
Put it in because you know it'll stir some thoughts.
Right.
Get some people's backs up.
Anyway, you wanted to conclude before I rudely interrupted you.
No, I think that was my conclusion.
Okay. Just
it's a silly article about nothing.
I think that's a pretty fair conclusion. Yeah.
All right, guys. It's time to move on to our thing.
Yay!
Okay, oh, do that it's thing.
Thing time.
Sorry.
It's my favorite time. It's
thing time. One,
what are we going to do with the thing? Are we going to take the thing and put it in the other thing?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky.
Okay.
Oh, that thing.
Can we go back?
No, we're keeping the thing now.
Okay, guys. It's time to move on to our feature for this week, and we are going to do our second installment of the Borat Sagdiyev Award for Excellence in Science.
Yay.
I love this name.
Thank you. I coined it.
Yakshimash.
And this time around, we are awarding the fist to
honoring.
Duncan.
Honoring.
This time around, we are honoring Duncan Alfreds with the giant rubber fist builder.
Well, it's about time.
Yep.
If anybody deserves a giant rubber fist dildo, it's a Duncan Alfreds.
And we are happy to present this award to Duncan for faithfully regurgitating the ancient astronauts conspiracy as concocted by dumbasses like Michael Tellinger and David Icke.
Yay!
And for doing so as a part of a scientific news article again and again and again.
He is allegedly the science correspondent for News 24.
Well, I have a few words for News 24.
And occasionally when he has good source material to work from, like when he takes a Reuters article and rewrites it, what he produces isn't so bad.
Right.
But when he actually produces original stuff that he seems to commission, like he takes some off-the-wall ancient astronaut bullshit, reads a book on it, and then interviews the author and puts that on News 24.
Such as humans are descended from aliens, our technology comes from aliens, and ancient megastructures couldn't possibly have been built by lowly humans.
Well, obviously not.
Yeah.
Because a kraal, which is a bunch of stones in a sort of circle, can't possibly... Oh, humans can't stack stones together.
No. I've never met a human clever enough to do something like that.
Well, Duncan Alfred is clever enough to stack a bunch of stones together.
Well, maybe that's why he thinks that other humans aren't capable of it either.
Yeah, and obviously the pyramids can go in with that, and mega structures in South America and so forth. You know, it couldn't have been people because we didn't have thousands and thousands of years to move stones around.
And that the Anunnaki need gold to fix their atmosphere. That's why human beings... How else do you explain that human beings love gold?
I can't explain it any other way.
Yeah, we don't love other rare things.
No, we don't.
We don't. I mean, diamonds? Who likes diamonds?
No, diamonds are piss.
Me, platinum, I like diamonds.
Platinum? Who wants platinum? Please.
So, I mean, claims that humans are descended from aliens is completely freaking loony. Okay, humans are clearly part of this world and clearly have descended just like every other creature around us from an ancestor that is earthbound. May have come here by panspermia as a molecule on a rock.
But how do you explain, Angela, that my grandmother saw a UFO one time?
Well, Granny, your granny's been drinking the vodka.
There's also the slight problem for people like Tellinger that human beings are related, albeit distantly, to things like trees and spiders.
Right.
And it's not like this is a hypothesis. We can, and there's no other way of interpreting this evidence other than human beings come from Earth and are descended or have common ancestors with everything else alive. There's a universal common ancestor.
I can explain it another way. That trees and spiders are also descended from aliens.
Well, sure, that's what Angela just said with panspermia.
But there's no alien DNA in us. Like, why would aliens from another star system have DNA so similar to us that we wouldn't be able to tell it from chimpanzees? Seriously, why not? Wouldn't there be like some difference?
Why would it have DNA at all?
Exactly. It's just ludicrous and really wacko. That's why Duncan Alfreds gets the fist this month.
Congratulations, Duncan.
I'm sure it's going to be the first in a long line of awards.
There's a good chance you'll be winning it often.
Yes.
All right, then. Shall we move on to our links of the week?
Oh, and you're not really going to go to Google.
I'm sorry. This cannot be a link.
Dude, rather make it XKCD or something. Not Google.
All right, so I'll start. My link for this week is www.snopes.com.
I was worried when I saw Google on the list.
Snopes is good.
Yeah, Snopes is really good. So I introduced somebody to Snopes the other day when they got an email with photos of giants being unearthed in Greece.
But Owen, you must refer them to me.
Yes. That
and they must send me the emails and I'll write about it.
Yes, well, that's a good idea. I'll go back and check about. But in the interest of expediency, what I wanted to do was show this person that there was a nice resource that could be used to go and check the veracity of this email.
Mm.
So I copied some of the text out of the email, out of the body of the email, went to snopes.com, pasted the text into the search box, and up came the page on the Greek giants page. I saw on the Greek giants email, and there it was, the very images that were in the email that this person had received, and there was a nice little explanation about why it was all nonsense and where the images came from and that kind of thing, and it was really, really cool. And this happens a lot. And it's usually the first place that I send people to when I get one of these mass forwarded on emails about, oh, look at this amazing thing, it's a demon boy in a cave. And then I say, all right, go to Snopes and search demon boy in a cave, and then there you go, there it is, and it's awesome.
Yeah, Snopes is a fantastic resource. They really, really are very well researched and extensive. I think there's been one or two hoaxes that I've received by email that haven't been on Snopes.
Right.
Yeah.
But and few and far between.
Right, right. And what's interesting is that they're not always hoaxes. Yeah. Some of these email forwards that you get turn out to be legit. They might have been legit like 8 years ago and are no longer relevant or something like that. But if that's the case, then Snopes will say so.
Yeah. That's also a very big tick in their corner.
Yeah.
But of course, Snopes is part of the conspiracy.
Of course. It is run by squirrels.
With spokes.
Don't be silly. It's run for the squirrels by humans.
Oh, right.
How would a squirrel type?
With a spork.
That's dumb of me. Anyway, well, speaking of conspiracies, my link of the week is to a rather old article in Lobster magazine, which... And the article is called Conspiracy Theories and Clandestine Politics. And it was written, I think, in the early 90s by Jeffrey M. Bale. And it's one of my favorite articles of all time because it takes, well, it was one of the first articles I've come across that sort of took a middle course between dismissing all conspiracy theories and buying into the silly ones, right? So what Bale, the central point Bale makes is that there are real conspiracies, and a conspiracy is just when a bunch of people get together for some political purpose, and that purpose depends upon the secrecy of their getting together, right? And that kind of thing happens all the time. Like, for example, 9/11, when a bunch of mostly Saudi Arabian men got together, formed a clandestine conspiracy to blow up the World Trade Center, the White House, and the Pentagon, right? That mm-hmm. was an example of a conspiracy. Now, what he does point out, of course, is that grand conspiracies, for example, that instead of being perpetrated by a handful of mostly Arab men, Muslim men, it was actually carried out by Mossad, for example, as a false flag operation. Mossad is the Israeli intelligence agency. And how else could you explain the missing Jews on 9/11? Because apparently all the Jews over the Dunet received the message to stay away from the Twin Towers that day.
They got a alert on their Jew pagers.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. That made me want to play.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Anyway, I'll post a link, obviously, to this article, and I highly recommend you read it because, sure, conspiracies are real and they do happen, but usually they're ineffectual. Most often they're ineffectual and they're sort of short-term affairs. And, of course, grand conspiracies like squirrels with sparks or
the alien reptiles that pretend to be the leaders of the world.
Right.
The Illuminati or whatever.
All of that stuff.
The grand conspiracies are obviously
the United Nations.
wait a second.
Well, they're real, just not very competent.
Right.
Anyway, Angela, what is your link?
Yeah, my link this week is to Operation Clambake.
That sounds delicious.
Which reveals the inner workings of Scientology, and specifically aimed at the Church of Scientology.
Right.
And it is a one-stop shop of incredible detailed information about just how wacko those Church of Scientology loonies actually are.
But they have science in their name. Therefore, it must be scientific.
Of course. Nobody would let them put science in the name.
It's like Christian Science.
Right, exactly. Like
Christian Science is obviously scientific Christianity.
Or else they wouldn't let them call it that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The word people...
There's
a lexicographer or something in charge of these things.
Surely.
They have to make an application.
A terminologist.
Terminologist. And I'm
sure
Google.
All the nutritionists do.
Yeah, okay, good point.
So, So, Operation Clambake is full of news and interviews and documentation. It's just incredible. It really reveals the depth of abuse of power that the Church of Scientology engages in on a daily basis. It's scary and enlightening. It's fantastic.
And if you want to find that episode of South Park, which is sometimes hard to find, that's a good place to go and download
it. Yes, it is right there.
Does it come out of the closet or something?
Stuck in the closet, I think it was.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
The website is Xenu.net?
Yeah, Xenu.net is the address.
X-E-N-U.
Yeah.
Xenu being the Dark Lord.
Yes, yeah, the Galactic Overlord.
The galactic alien that put all of his people in the volcanoes, and then the volcanoes blew up because he put nukes in them, and then their spirits are what makes people sick, apparently, according to the COS.
Makes us bad and sick.
And crazy. And
along with the psychiatric drugs.
Right, yes. Mm. Yeah.
But, of course, Tom Cruise believes in this stuff, therefore it has to be true.
Obviously.
Actually.
And Bambi Girl, what's her name? Tom Cruise's wife, Bambi. Katie Holmes,
yes.
Better known as Bambi.
Yeah.
Actually, Richard Dawkins would tell you that authority is a bad reason to believe something.
But you're only saying that because Richard Dawkins said it.
No, I'm saying it because it's true.
Richard Dawkins is just the Pope of atheism.
Yes. When you sneeze, I'm going to say, Dawkins bless you.
I want to see that celebrity death match. Richard Dawkins versus Pope Benedict. That would be awesome.
I would pay for that shit. Anyway.
All right, then shall we move on to our quote of the week?
Yes.
This one.
I suspect this is a Prechet again.
This is not a Prechet. This one is a Douglas Adams, and it comes from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and it goes like this. In the beginning, the universe was created. This has made a lot of people very angry and has been widely regarded as a bad move.
Yeah, that's Adams. Mm. Awesome.
Nice. All right, then. Shall we have our announcements?
Yep.
And we only have one announcement this week because all of you guys are slacking.
Yeah, and also we missed last week, so there were a bunch of things we could have announced and we didn't.
That's not good enough.
We were slacking.
That's not good enough. Clint, and Jacques, you guys are falling behind. All right, so this week's announcement is, up in Joburg, we're having Skeptics in the Pub, and that's happening on Wednesday the 7th of December at 6:30, and it'll be at the Keg and Spitfire on Bayswater Deer Drive in Blackheath.
I think we should have a new road next.
That is an option. We have a Google moderator page where you can propose and vote on venue suggestions.
But that's fine, I'll just announce it on the podcast. It's not that venue.
So we can have an event just like Skeptics in the Pub, but called something else.
No, no, we'll call it Skeptics in the Pub. It's just
skeptically being skeptical of the Skeptics in the Pub.
Midrange.
Nice. Like the feud that we didn't have in Cape Town a little while back.
Anyway.
All right, then that's all we have, I think.
Yep, that's it.
Angela, where can people find you on the internet?
People can find me at about.me/AngelaMeaden.
Awesome. And Mike, where can people find you on the internet?
Google Plus.
Yes, that's a good place. You can find me on Google Plus also, and you can get there by going to owenswart.org.
Cool.
Yes. Cool.
Yes, it is.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, nice one.
Well, that's all we have for you this week. Thanks to my co-hosts and to you, the listeners. Be sure to join us again next week for more Consilience.
Listening to Consilience. Our website is consiliencecast.wordpress.com, and you can send us an email to conciliencecast@gmail.com. The music is The Optimist by Zoe Keating from freemusicarchive.org.